Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk to you about relationships, about communication, all those challenges you have. Maybe you are dyslexic, maybe your partner's dyslexic, and you're looking for some answers. Now, what I hear all the time with right-brain thinkers with ADHD and dyslexia is people just run up against walls in relationships, and the same things happen again and again and again, and they don't know how to solve it. They try everything, YouTube, the works. I want to explain a few tips why it happens and help you get your head around some of the challenges communicating with dyslexia. Okay, just before we dive in, I just want to do a shout out to the team at RemarkableMinds.org. They're running a new Master Your Dyslexia Live coming up at the end of this month. It is an absolutely amazing course. It is a fully coached version where there will be a call each and every week to go through the program to keep you on task. Let's be honest, with dyslexia, it's very hard to finish a course ever. Great thing about this is you jump on a call, all of the things you've got to do are really simple and short. It's kind of like a TikTok kind of course, it feels like. It's really enjoyable. And by the end, you really see yourself differently. You see why you may struggle with self-confidence and a bunch of other challenges. So go across to Remarkable Minds. I'll put the link in the footer and learn a little bit more about that course. If you can make it, it is absolutely worth your time. Okay, let's talk about communication and relationships. I'm actually recording this, just hilariously, recording this episode in the closet. You know, it's funny, I always joke about dyslexia being the next thing where, you know, dyslexics and right brain thinkers are kind of jumping out of the closet to tell their bosses at work. And I actually wanted to see if I could get the audio better. And someone jokingly, I hope it wasn't jokingly actually, said you should start recording in the closet. And we've got kind of like this walk-in wardrobe thing. And I was like, okay, let's give it a try. And actually, it sounds better to me. So I'm like, just while I'm recording it. So that's just a complete tangent on the topic of this podcast. But that's how we roll here. We think outside the box and we don't mind the occasional tangent. So today I wanted to talk about relationships and getting it clear, you know, getting conversations clear. I was sitting down with a really awesome person the other week and he was having a bunch of challenges. And what it got me thinking about was communication and dyslexia. You know, there's a bunch of little pieces, and I'm going to do a good podcast for in a couple of days, all about some of the big, I call them the big four of dyslexia. A lot of them get mixed up with ADHD, and it's a bit interesting. It's a bit hilarious how it all happens. But in this podcast, I really wanted to triple down on relationships and communication. Now, when we're trying to win an argument, if you're a dyslexic and you've got a real visual mind, you think in pictures, you think in stories. You know, when you listen to a book and you hear a story, you remember the story, because you're visualizing the story as it goes, and you're not really good at remembering all the other random words around it. You know, if you're one of those type of thinkers like us, then you communicate in a similar way. You know, you think visually, you tell stories. Now, when you get heated into an argument with your partner, you know, male, female, whatever, you know, whoever you're with, if you're having a fight, it's because usually you are not present in the moment. You're not in control of you or your feelings. It's why you'll probably get over emotional. You know, dyslexics kind of supercharge their emotions really quickly and can do the opposite and completely discharge when they should actually have some emotion. Now, all of these things challenge relationships, because if you're not in control of who you are and your identity and all this stuff, it's really challenging, let alone the way we communicate. We are storytellers. And if we can't tell a story, or we're getting picked on or picked up on, it can become really, really hard for us. I don't know about you, but for years and years, I literally went around in circles in relationships. And it was just tough. We just couldn't find a common ground. You know, we thought we got somewhere and we thought, hey, this is good enough. I've lived a lot of relationships where I've just felt it's just been good enough. And I thought this is what I deserved. This is all the best I was going to get. And then there was a part of me going, there must be more than this. And I kind of, you know, started to dig into myself, because I'm a great fan of going, hey, when something's going wrong, and you're pointing at someone else or an external force, you've got three fingers pointing back at yourself. Like, that visual is really powerful to me. And so I started to look into how I was communicating, how I was hearing things, and how my emotions were driving me. And the challenge with emotions in an argument or a conversation is we don't, especially with dyslexia, we don't always see where that emotion came from. Was it something in our past? Was it something in the present? Are we anxious about the future? You see, the dyslexic mind works at 6 times the speed of the non-dyslexic mind. It's a visual processor. It's like on a computer. It works faster. It works better in that respect. But we don't quite have the software yet to kind of control it fully. This is kind of what learning about it is all about. You know, we're not installed the software at school, so we've got to learn about it now. And so by knowing your brain is faster, you can imagine your brain goes off on all these overthinking tangents. It drops off emotions because emotions come from experience. It comes from memory, from visuals. And what happens is you kind of get this kind of mess inside yourself. So when you're arguing, all this energy is building up and boom, 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 everything's going wrong. And so, you know, I know for me personally, I learned, okay, if it's a big argument, one thing I do, and again, I don't have many of these anymore, but when I did, is I would step back. I would completely pull myself back from what I was doing and say, hey, can we talk about it tomorrow? Now, I really value this conversation, but let's talk about it tomorrow. I need to let this energy go down because I know it's not related to this conversation, but it has appeared and it's going to not work well. You know, it's not going to go. And I had to add those little caveats when I'm talking about this because otherwise it feels like you're dismissing the other person and that is not the goal. If you're likely to forget what the conversation was about, record yourself a voice note, write on a whiteboard, a pad, a paper. Just put a note because we can as well, the next day, completely change our emotional state and forget what the argument was about. You know, it's really strange, right? And sometimes that's okay. If it was a really silly argument to start with, sometimes you just say, hey, I'm sorry. I've kind of gone over that emotional. It was me. I put the wrong energy out. You know, I'm sorry. And that's what I've learned to do. Other times, and I don't know about you, but when you're having this conversation or this challenge or this fight or whatever it is with your partner, have you ever had this like 1 hour conversation, realized at the end of it, you were both on the same side, but you were using different words in the conversation. So neither of you kind of got that you both meant the same thing. And you were just kind of like, you're just either fighting for the sake of it or just using completely different examples and they weren't meshing, the patterns weren't coming together. You know, that definitely used to happen to me a lot. And what I found was a good, if I ever got even a slight feeling that was going to happen, you know, I first became aware of it, of course, but I would say to my partner, my fiance now, and in about a month, my wife, I'm actually able to say to her, what's your picture? And actually understand what her picture is and go, I get it. I can now see from your perspective what you're trying to say. And we're actually pretty close. Maybe there's a couple of things different, but, you know, we're not opposing on an idea. And I can also step outside and look at it from your eyes. Because when someone explains a picture, they explain their frame of mind. They explain the angle they're looking at that picture from, which gives you a little bit of an emotional context as well. And that was super helpful for me. Because a bunch of trigger words or non-physical words being thrown at me, like, you know, the, authority, romance, sometimes love, all these words that have different meanings for everybody, that's a whole nother podcast, you know, can be really hard when we're communicating, especially when there's that emotional charge behind it. So that's really, really important. I also think another, and probably the last thing I'll share in this podcast, I like to keep these short because of our attention spans, right? Is really thinking about setting the playing field early. If you don't actually have those pre-conversations about how you communicate, you know, set the playing field for how you guys want to communicate as a couple. You know, have those deep conversations. Say, you know, I'm going to get really stressed out and over-energized about the wrong thing. It's just how my mind works. Some days I'm going to have to ask you to leave it till tomorrow. And I don't want to mean that as dismissing, but it's, you know, it's important because I want to build a fantastic relationship. And that context is so important. You know, context and purpose and meaning is so vital in our conversations. You know, you're having a conversation with your partner and they're dyslexic or you're dyslexic. Knowing the meaning or the context behind something is priceless. We don't operate without it. So you've got to have you've got to be able to explain the why behind what you're saying. And you've also got to listen to the why from your partner. You know, that'll be game changing. Sometimes we just shout things and say, do it this way. This was my dad's way of dealing with my mother. It didn't work out well, I'll tell you that. Is do this without telling her why she should do it. And the reason that happened is because his brain is dyslexic and it's so fast. He was already past the explaining of why. And he was just on to the telling her to do it and unsure why she couldn't see the why herself. Now, that's really deep. His brain was so quick, he couldn't understand why he had to explain his thoughts. He said, you should just trust me. And that doesn't work for right brain thinkers. We need context, but we can be terrible at giving context. You know, we're both sides of the bell curve. But again, that's another podcast. I think there's one on that, actually. You search bell curve on truthaboutdyslexia.com. Well, that's a lot of stuff, a lot of energy. As I sit in the wardrobe, closet, name a word. And it's interesting. I quite like it. It's interesting to be standing in the half dark because I don't really like too much light, unnatural light, shall I say. Well, that's all for today's podcast. Hope that's been enjoyable. Hope that helps you with your relationships, your partners. And if you do get a chance or if you do want to find out anything more about the RemarkableMinds.org course, there's a link in the notes. Have an epic rest of your day.